Wake the neighbors and phone the kids. It's about time for WSLM's newest show. Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk, the biggest and only local sports talk show in Kentuckiana. Focusing on Southern Indiana and Kentucky high school sports, regional college sports, and national sports news. If you want to talk to the KST guys, George Browning and Blair Thompson, call the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. Keep your comments brief and to the point, or Becky will throw a flag and take you out of the game. And now we go into Studio A inside the Pinewood Studios of WSLM for Kentuckiana Sports Talk with George and Blair.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk.
Well, you've almost made it through your Monday. Here we are, Blair Thompson and George Browning. We're going to be talking about all things sports here on Radio Ridge. We thought we'd kick off tonight's broadcast with a little baseball for you. The Cubs and the Reds ended a weekend series with the Cubs winning 2 out of 3. And the Reds go back into action tonight against the Indians with the Battle for Ohio. And I know my man Blair is a big Reds fan. And just full disclosure for you Reds fans who are tuning in, I'm a Cubbies man. I've been a Cubbies fan all my life. So, but hey, my dad was a fan of the Big Reds machine, so I did have Johnny Bench and Pete Rose on my wall in my bedroom. And I do have a place in my heart for the Reds when they're not playing the Cubs. So, tough weekend for the Reds, Blair.
Yeah, you know, I went over there to Cincinnati the last series where it was, you know, we took 4 games straight from the Cubs, which doesn't happen very often. So I'm still kind of riding high on that a little bit. Took the first game of this series, and then somebody made a Facebook post mid-game, and the Reds were up 7-3. I actually turned it off and thought, this one's in the bag. And didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out. So we want to thank you for the jinx, George, on that end of
You're
it.
You're quite welcome.
So we've dropped the last two by one run, and the last one went to extra innings. But you know, for the Reds to be playing this well, I'm pretty excited about, you know, having something to root for here in July with the Cincinnati Reds.
You know, you just get to that desperate point, Blair. It was Greg here at the radio station texted me and said, hey, the Cubs are losing 5-0. And I thought, I have to do something. So what else better to break a streak than to say, hey, you've already lost the game before the game's over. And sure enough, I thought Riggleman's done a great job since he's taken over at the Reds.
Right, yeah.
But really, in that game Saturday, and I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, mm-hmm. I thought he mismanaged the pitching staff just a little bit. He left some guys in maybe a batter too long, and it ended up costing the Reds with the Cub rally.
Yeah, I almost thought Dusty Baker was coaching us again, because you know, Dusty is famous for leaving his pitchers in forever to tear their arms up. But you know, we've Amir Garrett has been lights out for us, and then last couple of games he struggled, and you know, Hughes has struggled with us, and our bullpen's kind of has been what's kept us in the ball games that maybe we shouldn't have been in, and now the last few games it's been the opposite. We've got good starting pitching, and then the bullpen has really let them down. But you know, anytime you get a chance as a Reds fan to get excited about anything at this point of the year, like I said, it's good stuff. So,
all right. So if you're tuning in for the Reds tonight on 1220 AM, we're going to go to that after our broadcast. We're going to interrupt talking about baseball. We're going to go back to that. We have, I think this is our new Salem boys basketball coach, Coach Brown, here with us on the phone. We wanted to interview him here in his first couple of weeks on the job. And is this you, Coach Brown?
It is.
Hey, welcome to Kentuckiana Sports Talk. How you doing this Monday evening?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I know in working in the media for the last couple decades, we are anxious to always get the first interview, but there's value in letting the dust settle, so to speak. So how's your first couple weeks on the job gone, Coach?
It's been really good, I have to say. We got to spend a little bit of time together in the summer league right at the end of that, and the shootout at Salem, so I got to watch the kids play a little bit. Really impressed with them as a group. They are just all about each other, which is what I really like to see. Just a lot of really good kids with a lot of feeling for each other and you know, unselfishness, things that you want to start with when you start looking at putting a basketball team together.
Now, Coach, what was it about the Salem job that attracted you to apply for it?
Well, it really was three things that are kind of separate from each other. First of all, you know, having coached in that area, I know the facilities that Salem has are second to none. And one of the things that I enjoy the most about coaching, always have, is feeder program, working with younger kids, developing classes of kids that hopefully will come along and keep tradition going year after year. So that was a big thing. I mean, I know what they've got and how much gym space they have, all that. And then second thing was just the tradition of, I guess, the kind of players and people that I've encountered at Salem. When I was at Paoli in Crawford County, we had some really good high school basketball games against Salem, and I always admired the way their kids played. I thought they played hard. I thought they were afraid of nothing. And those were qualities I always admired. And so that's the second thing. And then the third is just my son and grandson, his family is in Jasper now, which is a little farther from Madison than I'd like. So, you know, on a school day at Salem, instead of coming home to Madison or wherever I end up living there, I can run to Jasper and eat dinner with them and see my grandson, see my family a little bit closer than I could when I was at Madison. So just a lot of good things, and you know, really excited about getting started.
I know you lost quite a bit of the summer with the hiring being so late. Does that kind of put you behind the eight ball as far as, you know, usually the month of June you get the to really know your team and get a look at what you got coming back in November? Is that going to kind of set you behind other programs?
I think it has to in some ways, really in two areas. Number one, I did get to see them play. I got to kind of evaluate what we have, get an idea of where we want to put people to start with. But, you know, there were a lot of kids that were in and out because of baseball and football, and that's what summer's about. So I didn't get to see as much as I would have liked, and I certainly didn't get to work with them very much. So that will hurt us some in the fall, there's no doubt. But, you know, that's when you've had a coach like Hank that's been there for, you know, better part of, gosh, 18 years, I guess, that, you know, you're going to have to replace and do a lot of different things anyway. So I think more than anything, you know, it's just going to be a little bit of catching up. The best part of it is this fall we have some time to work with our kids that are not in the fall sport, and I think we can maybe show them and teach them some things that we want to do when November rolls around that will help when the fall athletes come out. So, you know, it's part of it. It doesn't always happen when you want it to, and usually when coaches are hired for different jobs, you feel like you're behind anyway.
Coach, you talked about the dynamic of Hank being there, and I wondered about, sure, that's a luxury to say, hey, Coach, this particular player, how can I get the most out of him, and he's right there down the hallway from you. But there's also the dynamic that this is the guy who's led the program for the last 18 years. And is there some difficulty in that, to know that it, he handed you the keys to the car that he's been driving for the last 18 years or so?
Well, that's a great way to put it. I mean, you know, I've always told coaches that when I go into a different job, it hasn't been very many of them, but I've always told the coaches that are there that want to help me, don't tell me a lot about anybody, because I want to make my own judgment of them. They may have done some things in the past where they've not shown up, or they've not been very hard workers, or have been an attitude problem or something. I don't want to know all that. What I want to do is give them a fresh start and me have a fresh start with them. At the same time, you could bet your bottom dollar that I'll be knocking on Hank's door a lot, just with questions about how he used kids and things he did, because in playing against him, he was in the top two or three guys that were best prepared of coaches that I coached against. So, you know, we both have a lot of respect for each other, and there's no way he's going to be out of the car. You know, he may be sitting across from me. I don't think he's going to be out of the car. And I do want to make my own judgment of kids, because I think a lot of times when you come into a new job, they feel like they maybe have a new start if they've had some problems in the past or maybe haven't gotten to play. So you don't want to ruin that by saying, hey, I heard you were lazy, you know. So, you know, and I told them, I'm basing everything that I see off of what I see now. But, man, you certainly don't want to not take advice and have questions for somebody that just knows the school and the kids so well and has done such a good job as Hank has done there.
Absolutely.
Coach, this is Blair Thompson, and I have a couple questions for you. What kind of team, if we're going to see a Coach Brown team this year, are we going to see a Coach Brown team? Is there a specific
system,
I guess, yeah, that you I mean, obviously we've seen you coach at Pale, then we've seen you coach at Crawford. You know, I don't know if you've had, did you have to change your coaching style, philosophy in the last couple of years at Shaw, or last year at Shaw, or are you going to go back to the we play ball era of Paoli, where you know you like to run and get up down the floor and play some defense?
Well, you know, you have to play to what you have there. And you know, like last year at Shaw, I had one big kid that was pretty much the dominant kid, and we played around him a lot. My preference is to play the way we did at Paoli and Crawford. Play a lot of kids. You know, one thing that I noticed within the first couple nights of watching these kids play in the summer league is that, you know, with the exception of probably Zager, we don't have anybody that just is so experienced and so good as far as skill goes, they stand out from everybody else. I think we have a group of kids who all have some skill and all know what they need to do to be successful. And, you know, we don't have a 6'7 or 6'8 kid that can play in the post for us.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I've had very few of those. So I'm used to playing with the kind of kids we have at Salem. And right now I would say that you're looking at playing 8 or 9 guys in the first quarter. You're looking at us pressing and running the way we did at Paoli and at Crawford for most of the time I was there. It's a fun way to play. You can play a lot of kids. Everybody has a role. You know, on a normal night, we want to try to get 60 shots up. And if we can do that, I think it'll be a fun type of basketball that everybody wants to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Like to play.
And the second question I have, you know, George wasn't around here in the early 90s to witness the teams that you had with Sibbett and Stroud, and then with when the second team you had with Evan Seacat. A lot of people don't know that, you know, you went to the semi-state finals following your year with the state finals. The year after that, you went back to the semi-state finals. And I think a lot of people around here would be hard-pressed to not believe that that team that you had, had there been class basketball in the 92-93 seasons, you guys would have been, you know, would have went real far, probably into the state finals, if not won it. We have a poll going on right now this week for our station, our top 5 players in Washington County that have played throughout Washington County, and I was wondering if you could give us maybe your top 5 that you've coached against or played against or seen play, or if you don't want to give us 5, maybe your top 3 players that you have seen in this area or maybe that you've coached.
Well, if you're talking about the Washington County poll, we were talking about that today at Open Gym, and
good,
three
I'll
or four
that.
Coaches are all giving their opinions. The problem they had was they were from different eras, and some had not seen Neil Coyle play.
Right.
And so they couldn't count him because they hadn't seen him play.
Right.
For me, if you're talking about Washington County, I would have to say Coyle, probably the guard from Pekin, Sterrett. Certainly Gunnar Irwin from Salem. But, you know, I told those guys it's hard to pick five because after you get past that first three or four, I mean, I saw Jimmy Apple play one time, and I told those guys today, he played the game like Romeo Langford plays it. It looks like he's putting out no energy at all, but he's doing everything he wants to do. And I think people that didn't get to see him play at Salem and just see that picture on the wall really missed out if you were too young to watch him play. So those would be my top four. Man, I played against some really good players. you know, the Dobler kids from Eastern. There were certainly some other players, Green from West Washington. And then I told those guys today, the guys I remember from Salem, probably because it was early when I got there, were Howard and Maudlin. I thought they were great players. So
two guys on my list, by the way.
Kudos to Coach and Green, the guard from Pekin. And certainly Irwin were probably in my top four or five.
Yeah, you know, another guy that I left off my list that was close was Brad Trueblood. And I remember you know, he had a battle with you guys in the sectional game over there. I think he dropped like 32 points, something like that, in the sectional at Paoli that year.
We
had no business of even competing with that team that you had, and he had a big night over there. So, you know, we appreciate you taking your time on that poll, Coach. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but
I felt I've forgotten about Trueblood, but you know how many points he got that night?
36?
Not as many as he wanted.
But not enough, Coach, not enough. The Rams still pulled it off. So,
that's not enough, but I can tell you, we had nobody to stop me, that's for sure.
That was interesting. I mentioned, I was talking to a guy today about it, and he said, you know, Salem was the biggest team in that sectional for years, you know, and they didn't win. And I said, well, you had two Division I players at Paoli, and you had a 7-foot center at West Washington in a 1A school. You know, that doesn't happen too often, and that was a heck of an atmosphere and a wonderful, wonderful time. And we hope to bring that back here to Salem and get that excitement rolling again.
Yep, that's the goal right there.
Coach, just a couple more about the upcoming season. You got you talked about Xavier, and what a luxury is that for you going into your first year to have a quarterback on the court, so to speak, a point guard that's been through the battles. He's had 3 years under his belt, and really just a world of experience for you. How important is that in your first year to have a kid like that, a young man, to lead you guys here into the season?
Well, I think any coach would tell you, if you can start with any position that you want to be locked down in, it would be your point guard. And certainly coming into a new team and a new season with kids that you have not seen play much, you know, that's a luxury. And I'll be honest with you, when Hank called me about the job, I talked to a few guys that are good friends of mine and coach in the league, and they said, look, you have the best point guard in the conference. And I said, really? And they said, yeah, there's not a team in the conference that would take him. And I only seen him play a couple times because he's been involved with baseball a lot this summer, but you only have to watch him for about 8 or 10 minutes to see what you have. And the thing I like about Xavier, just from the short time I've known him, is quiet, confident. Kids follow, and certainly on the court. I told somebody the other day, he plays like a 40-year-old man in church league that knows all the tricks in an 18-year-old's body. That's a pretty good athlete, and that's a good way to describe it. He knows everything that he needs to do to get done what he wants to get done. So, well, I'm really happy to have him. You know, it's a great guy to kind of build around and to give some help to our younger guys that are coming along that are going to have to fill his shoes when he's gone.
Right.
So he's a blessing, that's for sure.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one, Coach. It's July. It's mid-July. The season doesn't start till November. In a new job, are you glad that you got about 4 months here before you get started, or do you wish the season was starting yesterday or tomorrow?
Well, you know, when you come out of summer, man, you're ready to play. So I think everybody is kind of anxious to get started. I am glad I have time. There's no doubt. Especially to get to know the younger kids. You know, it amazes me the amount of interest in Salem. We decided about 2 weeks ago to have a elementary and junior high camp just really to get to know the kids, 4 days. We had no way through school of getting the word out because of summer break. So, you know, we used you guys in the paper and Facebook and everything else. And as of right now, we have 97 kids coming tomorrow.
Wow.
So that part is exciting. I'm glad we have some time to work with our high school kids, but I am glad that we're getting started right away, and it does make you excited when you get that many kids that'll come out in the summertime and meet a new coach and go through a few days of drills. So really positive things right now. We're really happy about it.
All right. Well, we want to wish you luck, and we look forward to working with you here at WSLM, and hopefully big things to come here in your pursuit of 500 wins as a Salem Lion head coach.
That would all be great. We're out for what we can do for Salem basketball, that's for sure.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Have a good night, Coach.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
All right. That was Salem head coach Mike Brown. You heard it. He made his picks for the best players he's seen around, and we'll get to that just in a little bit. We want to finish up here talking about baseball. You know, the Reds lost on Saturday, and really I thought played a great game on Sunday. Really beat up on Lester a little bit. A lot of teams hadn't done that this year. Pushed the Cubs to extra innings and lost a heartbreaker there.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, the Cubs are they leading MLB in comeback wins right now, I believe is what I read yesterday. And you know, they have all kinds of talent, so you never know. You never count them out, and you try to get as many runs on as you can, and just you can't wait to get through the ninth inning. But like I said, I preferred last week when it was four straight wins by the Reds, but we'll take what we can.
So there's no score in the bottom of the first inning against the Indians. If, like I said, if you're tuning in to hear the Reds tonight on WSLM, 12:20 a.m., we'll join that game in progress at the end of this broadcast. So the Reds and the Indians are knotted at zero in the bottom of the first inning in Cleveland. All right, so on to the next. The big race this weekend in Sparta, Kentucky, the NASCAR race. Admittedly, a newcomer won this past weekend at Daytona, Eric Jones, thanks to a big crash at the end of the race there.
Yeah, you're always, you know, the drivers always talk about the big one at Talladega or at Daytona, and, you know, you're kind of on pins and needles to make sure that you're not in that at the end. And, you know, Eric Jones was at the right place at the right time, and end up taking home. You know, anytime you can win a race at Daytona, even if it's not the Daytona 500, you want to race at Daytona. That's a special time.
It sure looks good on the resume. Daytona win, like you said, it's not the 500, but Daytona in July is probably the second best thing that you could have on your resume there, certainly. And Martin Truex, who's had a lot of success at Kentucky,
right,
finishes second. So he's coming in to Sparta this weekend with a hot streak. And certainly I know the field there that'll be competing in Kentucky don't want to see Martin coming in with feeling good about himself and with a car in a pretty good shape.
Yeah, you know, and that's a fun team to root for. If you don't have a driver that you really follow, I know NASCAR in the last couple of years, it has kind of the fandom has kind of slowed down a bit. But if you don't have a guy that you really like to follow, Martin Truex is a guy. You know, his wife battled cancer throughout the year last year. They were an underfunded team, and he was constantly putting the car in the top fives a year ago, and he just seems to be an all around really really good person.
And you know, it's really, Blair, that's true about all these NASCAR guys. I'm a big golf fan. I love to watch golf on the weekends, and I've been to a few PGA events in person. And, you know, as the golfers move from tee to tee, and this certainly isn't all of them, but when you see the big guys like Phil and Tiger, and you see all the kids with their hands out, you know, how hard is it for these guys to stick their hand out and slap a high five to a kid?
Right.
And so many times they just breeze right past them. And I think, you know, that little 9-year-old boy who could get a high five from Tiger Woods, as crazy as it sounds, that could change their life.
Right.
To say, hey, Tiger Woods gave me a high five at a PGA Tour event, or Phil Mickelson stopped to say hello, or Rory, or whoever it may be. And I understand that you have to be focused to play at the level they play, but at the same time, I just don't know how much focus it breaks to stick your hand out and slap high five. And that's one thing I've always loved about NASCAR. They take care of their fans for the most part. Now, there's a few drivers who probably don't do that as well as they should, but
right.
For the most part, those guys really do. And that's one thing about, we interviewed the gentleman from Kentucky Speedway there on Friday when we were on Coffee Club together, and he talked about the fan experience and how the drivers were going to be available to the fans all this weekend. So, man, if you don't have tickets yet, get your tickets and get down there, because it's going to be a great show and a great weekend of racing, and sure to be competitive.
Yeah, you know, one of the other things that we don't have written down, but I watched it, and I forgot to mention it to you today. Did you see Travis Pastrana jump the Caesars Fountains over the weekend?
Oh, you know, I didn't. I knew that was coming up, but I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, he successfully did it, you know. There was some... I was a big Evel Knievel fan. There was lots of dirt bike jumping and crashing, and not really a bicycle, because I don't like to pedal a lot. You know, I like things with motors. There's, I'm not going to do a lot of physical activity, but he pulled three jumps, 143 feet, jumped 52 cars, 192 feet right after that, 16 Greyhound buses, and then finally 149 feet to clear the fountains of Caesar's Palace, which, if you've ever been out there, that's the final jump of Evel's career. I think he broke every bone in his body after he came out off of that. But, you know, some of the old school guys were on me about it today, because Evel Knievel jumped that on an old Harley Sportster. And there was no suspension, and Pastrana did it on a dirt bike. So, you know, the old school guys are doubting Pastrana's feet last night. But you know, anytime you're jumping a bike 150 feet, I think that's a pretty neat thing, and it's pretty exciting, and kind of brought back some good memories of watch. I watched Robbie Knievel, Evel's son. He did it in the 80s, but pretty neat event.
The old school guys versus the young guys. That's always the battle, isn't it?
Right.
The old school guys never want to give the young guys credit. You know, it's like golfers today, and, oh, they're driving the ball 350 yards. And, well, you know, Jack and Arnie were hitting with wood drivers. So,
right.
And they were hitting it pretty far. So it's hard to compare. But that's a good segue to me, Blair, for our question of the week. You know, right. Coach Brown dabbled in it a little bit. Now, help me to remember, Coach Brown said some names here.
Yeah.
He was talking about the best players that he's seen, and you know, maybe he's seen it from a better perspective than all of us, because he was on the opposing sideline as he coached against these players. We had Neil Coyle was certainly the top of that list that he mentioned.
Dobler,
Clayton Starrett from down in Pekin. He mentioned Josh Green out at West Washington. Who's some other names that he mentioned there?
Dustin Howard, local attorney Dustin Howard, and Brad Maudlin. Those two guys were on the same team together, and he mentioned Gunnar Irwin as well. So, you know, those are the guys that he said if he had to pick. And, you know, then he mentioned Brad Trueblood, who had a big game against him in the sectional game there. And so those are the guys that he mentioned. He named them off pretty quick too. So, you know, on my list, that was. Every single person he mentioned was on my list, so I'm going to say Coach Brown and I. You know, maybe my basketball expertise is maybe on Coach Brown's level. Maybe, I don't know, but I had Neil at center. He's 7 foot out of West Washington. Went on to play at Southern Indiana, and won a national title at Southern Indiana. Gunner obviously went on to play at Franklin. Clayton Starrett, who went to play at Franklin. Dustin Howard went to play at Marion, and Brad Maudlin, both on the same team together. So those were my five. You know, like I said, the rules were you had to see him play. I didn't see Jerry Apple play. Obviously, if you ask a lot of people, he was the best player to play here at Salem. I didn't get a chance to watch him play. I was young. I went to the game, but I don't remember watching him play. So, and you had to have at least one player from each county school. So I'm interested to hear what your list is going to be, George.
Well, I'm keeping it top secret.
See, yeah.
Now, Clayton Starrett would have certainly made my list. And I will say this, he had the best pull-up jumper in the 20 years that I've been here. I've never seen anybody that could run full speed, and he would take his defender with him, and he could stop on a dime and pull up, and he'd make the shot. It's just amazing to see, and I've seen so many defenders look bad doing that. But I didn't put Clayton on my list because I wanted to have a list that didn't include any of yours, okay, and right. that's the integrity of the draft.
That's a very political answer there, George. So if I left anybody off my list, it's because Blair had it on his. Okay, I got you.
Well, and certainly you, in a list like this, it's unfair because like Coach Brown said, the Jimmy Apples, you know, and he compared him to Romeo Langford back in the day. And like I said, who would know but a coach who has spanned, you know, all these decades as a coach say, hey, he coached against Jimmy Apple and he's seen Romeo play in person. So he knows basketball is basketball, right? And these two kids had the same intangibles. So let's talk about some of the other lists that people have shared there on our Facebook page. And again, this is the question of the week. We're going to post a question on our Facebook page every week. And we want your feedback. We want to hear your answers. Just kind of like our top five. So
Jamie Richards is Jamie Richardson. He's our local Salem historian. You know,
that's right. Our sports guru.
Right. He went with Neil Coyle at center. Gunnar Irwin at forward. Joe Newcomb at the other forward from Beacon. So a younger kid. He went, you know, an old school guy like Jamie, put the new generation on there. Greg Underwood at guard, who I've heard was tremendous. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to see him play. And Jimmy Apple rounded out Jamie's top five. So that's a pretty solid group there as well.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear from Jamie because I told him I commented there and said that there's one surprise on his list. And I love Joe. I know Joe well, Joe Newcomb there at Eastern. But I'm curious about the intangibles that he saw in Joe to make your top five. That's Jamie's watched sports in Washington County his whole life. Yeah. So for Joe to make that list is pretty impressive.
And he's a Salem guy.
But you got to pick a Musketeer.
You do. So I know. I got it.
For Joe to rise to the top of that list and be the Musketeer that Jamie picks, I think that's pretty impressive. I don't know if Joe's seen that. I'm going to point that out to Joe to make sure that he knows that he made Jamie's top five. But I got a question for you. Neil is making everybody's list, right? If we ask 100 people in Washington County to name their top five, Neil would probably make 100 lists.
Yeah.
I never got to see Chance play in high school. Chance Coyle, that's Neil's son. I wonder if Chance had stayed in Washington County, would Neil and Chance both make the list?
I would say the people that I've talked to said yes.
Right.
Yeah, the people I've talked to have said that you know, there would probably be two Coyles on that list. So,
sure.
I saw him play twice in his senior season, and he was a tremendous, tremendous player. We got another one come in from Steve Crane, who happened to be my junior varsity basketball coach. So I don't know. He played me a lot, so I don't know. You know, he has to know a lot about basketball.
So did Blair Thompson make his list?
No, I was not a basketball player.
We're going to throw it out instantly if it did.
I was not a basketball player and a questionable football and baseball player. So here we go. Steve's list. He put Mark Temple from Pekin. Played at New Mexico State, he said, in 1975. Gunnar Irwin made Steve's list. Randy Welbaker, which Coach Motzinger just mentioned Randy's name to me before I left practice, from West Washington in 1975. Jimmy Apple, who went on to play at William & Mary. And Mickey Belt from Salem, who graduated in 1976. He also mentioned Coach Crane put on his six-man list Larry Turpin. So Larry Turpin went on to play at Indiana University from Salem. So those were the guys that he mentioned. And he also threw in the fact that Larry Bird is the greatest Indiana high school basketball player he's ever seen. So those were the ones that Coach put in there.
Yeah, that's really going out on a limb there to say Larry was good. I think some other people would say that too. I just want our listeners to know that this weekend, we mentioned that there's a big race in Sparta, Kentucky. So we want to give out two tickets to the first caller right now, whoever calls in for the remaining time that we have left. If you're the first caller, we're going to give you two tickets to Saturday's race. You can go and watch the – well, right, wow, that was – somebody was on it.
Yeah, all right.
Speed dial. Here we go.
Hi, who do we have with us today? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Kadri.
All right, Chad.
Chad, what's on your mind? Do you have a top five basketball team, or you?
I'm calling for the tickets.
Racing's on his mind.
Racing's on your mind. Have you ever been to Sparta before?
Chad?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there? You won the tickets, but George wants to know, have you ever, you've been to the Speedway before? You're quite the fan, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, stop by tomorrow and pick up your tickets here at the studio.
All right, I can do that.
All right, thanks for calling, and keep listening.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Before, I do want to say, going back to Jamie Richardson, I'm surprised Jamie Richardson has not called. He had Greg Underwood.
Uh-huh.
Greg Underwood was like a gift from God to his coach. It was Coach...
Warner.
Coach Warner. And Greg Underwood started as a freshman varsity.
Wow.
And his team, everybody approved of that. You know, that's a big thing, too. You know, when you're a freshman, you're coming in and you have your other, you know, juniors and seniors, they all got along, and that was it was a good match. It was a good thing for a freshman. I mean, you can tell that his personality was good, that he, you know, clicked with the juniors and the seniors, but his talent was there, too, obviously. So maybe this will be Jamie. That I'm surprised Jamie's not called. Hi, who do we have with us today, tonight?
Hello?
Caller. Hello? Yeah, it's Rhett
Huffaker.
How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Rhett?
I'm going to call and say hey.
Hey, what's going on? We're working on our top five Washington County basketball team. You got your top five?
Yeah, first I'm
going to
start with myself at guard.
That doesn't surprise me.
I don't think anybody listening probably would have questioned that, Rhett.
Funny, but I understand. But no, my top five would be guard would be Gunnar Irwin, Clay Starrett, and Chad Nelson at guard. And then a forward would be Gunnar Irwin at center. And then at center would be Clayton Sutherland.
I think you're breaking up, but I think I got you. You said Clayton Sullivan at center?
Yeah, Clayton Sullivan.
And who was your other forward other than Gunner?
Seth Hobson.
Okay.
Ah.
So we got some new era in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we just wanted you to know that Coach Brown did not mention anything about his junior varsity coach.
Probably smart on his part. He don't
want to
get fired his first week.
He said he needs all the help he can get. He was having a hard time with that.
Well,
so.
I can hear you.
Yeah, he said he was having a hard time getting that guy to do any work for him.
Hello.
Bring him on. All right, Rhett. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
All right, you heard Rhett Huffaker with his. He gave himself honorable mention, and I got to tell you, there were times when Rhett would shoot, and I would think, what is he doing? And it would go in. But there were other times that it didn't. But, you take the good and the bad, right? I mean, sometimes he would shoot from Campbellsburg.
Right. Speaking of Campbellsburg, Coach Russell just sent me his top five. So Coach Russell, the head girls coach at West Washington, sent his top five in. He's got... you know, he was a Salem, you know, Coach Russell went to Salem, and now he's coaching at West Washington, so he's got both perspectives there. Neil Coyle is the starting center, Brad Pennington at forward, and Dustin Howard at forward, Jared Green, who was also the guard that played with Neil Coyle on that team, and then Jimmy Apple on the last of the guard list. And I wanted to say that... I told you earlier I had a funny Jimmy Apple story, and I'm going to throw that in there right now until we get somebody to call us in. We back in the summer, a lot of people used to join and play basketball up at Brady Shrum. So there would probably be 50, 60 people, and you'd have to win, or you might have to sit two or three games. And it was the Salem version of Rucker Park, okay, if you can imagine. That's what we called it. And I was playing with a friend of mine, and this guy drives in this old beat up orange Jeep, hair down to his back of his shoulders, bandana, cut off jean shorts, and I think he had boots on. I don't think that he had tennis shoes on. And he sits down at the end of the court by himself, and he's just taking shots. And it's like the movie Hoosiers, you know, when Jimmy Chitwood's talking to Coach Norman Dale, and he doesn't miss a shot. And we had the old chain nets on those goals, and he's just not missing, he's not missing, he's not missing. And finally, my friend Greg walked over to me and said, "Hey, you know who that is?" You know, and I was a young kid. You know, he's the legend. You know, he's the legend around here. And he goes, that's Jimmy Apple. And so we picked him up on our team. And needless to say, we didn't lose a game the rest of the day. And I don't think Jimmy missed a shot in about 4 hours of basketball. So that was my only experience with Jimmy before he moved up. I think he's in Canada now, teaching in Ottawa or Ontario, one of the universities up there. But, yeah, so the legend, you know, sometimes when you have these legends and they let sure. you down. On that day, Jimmy Apple sure did not let me down. He was all over it. And it was funny because nobody knew who he was. We kind of tried to keep that a secret.
We wanted, we've given away a couple of Speedway tickets here to watch the NASCAR race this weekend in Sparta at the Kentucky Speedway, but we want to let you know also that you can share the Kentuckiana Sports Talk Facebook page and win yourself a pair of tickets. We're going to continue to give those away this week, so do that. Make sure you go and visit our Facebook page, like it and share it, and you have a chance to win tickets there to go see the race this weekend. Do you have a prediction, Blair?
I would like to see Martin Truex pull it off. He's been real successful at Kentucky, and probably he would probably be my favorite. And then if it's not a fan favorite, but I'm a big Kyle Busch fan. So if I can get Kyle Busch to victory lane, I'm a big fan of how he handles himself on the racetrack, which is a no-nonsense demeanor.
I'm going to predict A.J. Allmendinger will win this weekend at Kentucky Speedway. That's my prediction. So sports is all about predictions. I love the interactive age that we're in. Jamie Richardson commented on our post here on our Facebook page, and that's what we want to see happen. You can call in if you want, but we also know that you can comment on our Facebook page, and we're keeping track of that, or our Twitter page. Jamie says that Joe Newcomb just did the intangibles. That's why Joe made his list, and I certainly watched Joe play a lot, and Joe did just that. He was a true post player, and he went and got you 10 rebounds a game, or he would dive on the floor for the loose balls, and he was fun to watch. So I love to hear all these teams. And Jamie said he saw both Chance and Neil play, and he thinks Chance would have made the team, certainly. So I'm going to get to my list here. It maybe it's too much suspense. I've let it fester for too long. But here you go, Blair. Here's my list. Oh, and keep in mind, I moved here in 2000, so this is only for the last 18 years. I didn't get to see. I've seen Neil play on a rustic YouTube video from the sectionals back in the day, but I've never seen Jimmy Apple play. So and some of the greats from that day. I have seen some old football videos from the 90s, though. So here's my list. And keep in mind, Blair had made his selections first. So I looked at that as a draft. He didn't. He drafted them so they weren't available to me. So that's just in true fairness for the integrity of the game, so to speak.
So somebody
Blair.
That you left off that's going to be upset, you can just tell them.
Absolutely, I can blame Blair. Yeah, so here we go. One guard, Josh Green at West Washington. Josh was one of those players that... kind of like Jamie said about Joe, you know, Josh just did everything. And you hear coaches talk about the dog. They have the dog in them. They just want to win. Josh, for as long as I can remember, that's all he ever cared about is winning. And that's the kind of kid that I want on my team. But forget about everything. Playing time, it doesn't matter. I want to win.
And he gets you some buckets, too.
Well, he could score. You'll see that trend on my list here,
yeah,
Blair.
I like that. There's no Brian Cardinals on yours. You're straight scores. Okay.
Hey, I'm running gun, man. Doctors of Dunk fella here.
I'm with you.
So Josh Green, my other guard, and this isn't to curry favor with the new Eastern basketball coach, but Michael Gillum, man, he was another one of those guys who could score, but he could also run the point. He played some defense for you. Mike was just one of those heart and soul kind of basketball players that one of my favorites over the last two decades since I've been here. My center, he may not have been a true center, but Seth Hobson made my list. Seth could jump out of the gym. I remember I was out at New Beginnings Baptist when Seth was in eighth grade, And he was playing pickup ball with grown men, and the eighth grader was making some of the grown men look bad. And I remember telling Hank as he went in, Seth went into his freshman year, like, man, that's a special kid you got there. Seth was going to be, and to think that he's playing college football, he's not even playing basketball. Right. One of the best basketball players in the last 20 years is not even playing college basketball.
Well, Seth had, we, you know, we like to call it the want to, you know?
Sure.
The want to. He's going to will you to victory no matter what, and that's what I think was his great attribute. It wasn't, you know, he was the best shooter, but he could, he could put your whole team on his shoulders and go win a game, you know, and that's, I think that was a big plus. And then with Gillum, I didn't mention anything with Gillum. He might be the smoothest players I've seen. The way, you know, way he handled, you know, remind me of like the Klay Thompson on the basketball court. He's going to fill it up from 3-point line, but he also can move past you, and just the way he carried his body on the court was he could get to the rim anytime he wanted to, or just sit out there and bomb threes all day long.
And he also had that, you know, that you call it the 1-2, the dog in him, the desire to win. I mean, right. Seth just had that in him, and he was one of the best interviews. I love to talk to him. And then off the court, his work with the Pride, the Special Olympics team here in Salem. Just an all-around good kid that you want on your team and in your program. And then one of my forwards was Colin Agan. Like I said, I want scorers on my team, and Colin could fill it up. And certainly when he was hot, he was as good as anybody. I told Blair, I thought, you know, the year that Salem beat Washington in the regional and eventually lost to Princeton in the championship game that night, that was a great team. But the year before, when they lost to Charlestown in the sectional championship game, man, that team was loaded from top to bottom. Because you had Gunner, but you had Colin on the same team. And man, they were long and good at every position.
Logan Dunn,
if I'm convinced that if Tyler Holes doesn't foul out of that championship game, Salem may even make a deeper run that year. Right. So it wasn't that the other team the next year wasn't great, but that team was very, very good too. Because you had the Bakers and the Huffakers who were very young in that program too. So it was just solid from top to bottom. But you had Merce Brock and those fellows down there from Charlestown. Coach Sean Smith, young Sean Smith, cutting his teeth.
I'll never forget in that game. In that game, one of the Merce Brocks was a better free throw shooter than the other. And then at the end of the game, the one who was the better, they were twins, and so the one who was the better free throw shooter went to the free throw line, but he wasn't the guy that got fouled.
So they tried to
pull a little switcheroo on us there, and the kid ended up missing the free throw. So the one who was supposed to hit the free throw missed it. So it might have might have worked the other way around to send it into overtime there. But that was a tremendous ball game down there as well. So
sure, that's one of the only games, Blair, in the 20 years that I covered high school basketball in Washington County that I thought the officiating played a role. You know, I always say don't blame the officials, but I thought that game was not officiated the same way on both ends of the court. Now, I talked later to people who graded the officials, and they graded very highly in that game, so maybe I'm wrong, and I just cared a lot about those boys and hated to see them lose, but right. I sure thought Tyler got called for a few fouls that maybe the Merce Brock boy in the paint got away with a little bit, or Bowman Thrasher. He was a pretty rough player, but hey, that's neither here nor there. Like I said, the officials graded very highly in that game. So anyway, we have Colin Agan, and then my fifth, one of my favorite just local athletes, Landon Roberts, has always, I love to watch him play. I loved how he was on and off the court, and just a good all-around young man, and he had that dog in him too. He always had that smile, but the competitor is deep within him.
Right.
And when he stepped between the lines, he wanted to go out and get you a win. And so, like I said, that's certainly my five, given that I didn't want to take any of the same players that you did. But even still, I would take my five and put them up against any of the five that's been mentioned here
on these lists. I still got a seven-footer, though. So
you do?
That might give you a little bit of a problem there, so we'll see.
But you know those arms that, I thought I had Gunner on my team, but Seth had a very long wingspan, too, so I think he could have held his own against a seven-footer there, maybe. Or maybe I'd bring in Cree Holstein off the bench, because he certainly did pretty well against the seven-footer in Washington.
For sure he did. I tell you, it was one of those games that I think I I literally lost control of my temper and my yelling ability. I was out of my seat in that game, screaming and yelling, and I had to reel it in, because you know you can't be a teacher and be up there screaming too crazy but that was, you know, that was by far the greatest sporting event that I've been to in Salem, and you know, just to pull that off when no one else, you know, was giving us a chance, and to know how hard those boys had worked all the way up, and it was a great night, a great night to be a Lion for sure.
Sure, and it's definitely a top three moment for me in the 20 years that I've been covering sports now. And it was number one for a stretch, but Eastern's girls went in the state championship, right. And you know, that certainly kind of bumped that down to number two or possibly number three. And I tell you, another fun group to watch was really West Washington's golf team back in the, you know, early 2000s. That really, you talk about if class basketball or class golf would have existed. You know, Paul Stroud would have probably won a golf championship, right, with that group at West Washington. They were really fun to watch. So, I've just been, Coach Whedon, you know, when I left my job here recently, I sent a email out to all the coaches kind of thanking them for all their extra time and the ways they went out of their way to help me. And Coach Whedon said, man, you've lived history over the last 20 years in Washington County sports, and I truly have. So we got a caller here. Let's hear what's on your mind here, caller.
Hi, welcome to Kentuckiana Sports Talk. Who do we have with us?
This is Jamie Richardson.
Hey, we got him calling in, finally.
I couldn't resist.
We wondered when.
maybe it was my list. There's something on my list that sparked you. What's on your mind, Jamie?
Well, you know, we're forgetting the 85 sexual team from Salem with Bobby Parton and Tommy Weeks.
Sure.
And when Joel Day hit the winning shot against Valley, one of the greatest shots ever. Becky would remember that, I would hope.
Yes, absolutely.
I remember I had I wore the Kings of the Court shirt that year. I think everybody had that. It doesn't fit anymore, but I still got it, the 85 Kings of the Court. That was a good time. I was a young man, but that was a good time running over there to watch that for sure.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to mention any of them. I'm with you, Jamie. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, that was great. I remember being at the top of the cheer block. And when Joel Day hit the shot, I don't believe my feet hit the ground until I was on the floor, and Chris Huffman picked me up and carried me the whole way around the court. One of the highlights of my life.
I just picture you right now on Huffman's shoulders. I wish somebody had taken a picture of that. That'd have been a good sign.
You know, back then we didn't take the pictures like we used to. You know, we didn't have the cameras and the phones and everything. But I think you could have seen just about anything in that gym. Everybody was so crazy.
Yes. Well, I just want to let you guys. This was a great show, and keep it up.
I appreciate it, Jamie. Thank you.
Hey, before you go, Jamie, I just had to let you know. In 1985, I was 13 and had the very beginnings of what now is a glorious beard, the facial hair, the smarmy mustache of a 13-year-old Louisville fan who was ready to embark on his Central High School days. So I didn't know what was happening up here 45 minutes north of Louisville. So I wish I would have seen those teams. That team I've heard a lot about over the years, and certainly must have been fun to watch. And really, I always go to war for my Kentucky. You know, I'm a Derby guy over the Indy 500. But listen, I will not ever argue over the fact that Indiana is the king of high school basketball. There is no argument that they are second to none when it comes to high school basketball and the tradition of that sport worldwide.
Absolutely.
Well, and Jamie, while we got you, you know,
beard, adopt your beard. At the time, I had a glorious permed mullet. I hadn't grown any whiskers for a couple of years.
Jamie did sport a mullet.
Hey, Jamie, you know, another team that we're forgetting about here at Salem, that I'm sure, you know, that is a legendary status, and they'll tell you how good they were as well, is the 71 team.
And my dad, I put a list on there for my dad. He had Ronnie Mitchell from that team. That guy could do anything.
Yeah, that's I've heard that name a lot, and you know, that team was without class basketball. We, you know, went to the Sweet 16 and really pulled off you know, a feat here at Salem without class basketball that was unparalleled, and got beat by a Floyd Central team that went on to win it all. So That was
and the same with the 82 team, although they didn't win the sectional, they got, that's when Crawford was in the Paoli sectional.
Right.
And Crawford was just very dominant that year, 2 years. They went to state finals, I believe, the year before, and then came back and then won that sectional again. And, you know, if we didn't run into them, who knows how far that team could have went. Yep. That was the first outright conference title that we had won in years.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Probably 71.
And, you know, I was giving Jamie grief this afternoon because he left off both of his classmates. I put two of his classmates on my roster, and he didn't put him on there. So I'm sure when he sees Dustin or Brad in town.
Back in junior highball, I used to school on those boys all day long.
So they were going to make your list. I'm with you. But, you know, I was talking to Coach Brown earlier about the atmosphere of that sectional, Jamie, and, you know, with the talent level that, you know, if Mitchell, Orleans, Paoli, West Washington, Salem had, how amazing that atmosphere was in that big gym at Paoli, and I'm sure you remember that fondly. But that was some of the best memories as a child for me, sport memories as it gets.
Absolutely, and as much as I am a football guy, like George said, there is nothing better than Indiana high school basketball. Nothing. And when you get to sectional time, especially, and of course, I'm kind of getting into class basketball now, finally, after whatever it's been, almost 20 years. But before class basketball, your goal was to win sectional.
Right.
Anything after that was just icing on the cake, you know. And it didn't matter. It was such a rivalry with all the teams. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you know, that's, you were talking about sitting outside. I took my son up to watch, and I know you were there as well, to watch Romeo and Floyd Central, New Albany play Floyd Central in the regional game this year. And, you know, we had to wait outside 4 or 5 hours just to get into the gym. And then once the doors opened, it was a mad rush. And I remember telling Braylon, I said, hey, just hold my hand, and we're gonna go. And so we were lucky enough to – we had some real nice people in front of us. But, you know, that just kind of – you go to those games, you kind of get that feeling of what it was like. And, you know, like I told Coach Brown earlier, we're excited he's here, and we want to see us get you know, keep that level and keep what Coach Whedon started here and move forward.
All right, Jamie. Hey, thanks for calling, and keep on listening. We're going to keep this show rolling and bringing you local sports topics and regional topics and national topics. We have another list for you next week. Can we go ahead and give them a teaser?
Yeah, we're going to go. I had somebody ask me, you know, somebody said, well, if I was going to put this list together, I would be putting Christy Huff on my list, or Christy Knoll now, you know. And so I told them that we're going to do the girls next week. So next week we're going to have our top five female basketball players in Washington County. I know there's going to be some debate on this one because we've had some really good talent come up. We still have some good talent on teams now that may be on some people's list. So we're going to go next week with your top five girl basketball players in Washington County.
Remember the rules. You have to have seen them played. They have to be from a Washington County school. And really, that's it. We want to hear from you and your list. You can post it on our Facebook page when Blair posts the question,
right.
On our Twitter account. And like I said, this is a fun list. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Other than Rhett's. We can hurt Rhett's. It's okay.
It's all subject to our opinions. And certainly anybody that was left off of the men's list or the boys' list tonight, we certainly, all of our players, we appreciate it. Hey, I always tell people there's only 12 or 13 boys that make the varsity basketball team. And to me, if you run out of that tunnel and the school fight song's playing and the fans are standing, you've already won. Not everybody in the school gets to experience that. If you go out for football, you probably make the team. Not everybody gets to make the boys' varsity basketball team and get to see what it feels like to play West Washington or Eastern on a Friday night. So that's a pretty special deal. So anyway, I want to let you know that the Reds are winning 1-0 in the bottom of the third inning, and that will be the broadcast as we go off the air here.
We have a special announcement. We actually had Salem School Board. We had our vote for our varsity baseball coach.
All
Everybody's
right.
been asking that, and of course during the fair everybody was wondering, have you got a baseball coach? We do now, and drum roll, Jason Pettmeyer.
All right, you heard it here on Kentuckiana Sports
Breaking
Talk.
News. All right, yeah.
Jason Pettmeyer is the new varsity baseball coach at Salem.
So you have to give him some...
That's exciting. Right. Everybody, when you see Jason tomorrow out and about, congratulate him. And I think Jason's going to do big things with the program. Hopefully we'll have him on the show maybe maybe here soon in the next couple of weeks to hear his take on what he plans to do with the program. Blair, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Jason was a couple of years older than me, and he's a tremendous baseball player. He has two boys in the program right now, and you know, he, even though he's a Cubs fan, you know, he's Cubs fans. But anyway, even though he's a Cubs fan, he loves baseball, knows the game, and it's an excellent hire for Santa Community School. So I'm excited again. You know, with Coach Brown coming in, and now Coach Pettmeyer, is going to be a good thing for our community.
All right, we did say we had a correction. FC didn't win in 71. They lost to the eventual state final champions, East Chicago Washington, in the semifinals. And I stand corrected. Salem didn't lose to Charlestown in the sectional championship. That was the first game of that sectional. It just felt like a sectional championship atmosphere. So we do stand corrected, and we thank Connie Holstein for being our corrector in chief tonight. Yeah. Thanks, Connie, for listening
and
keeping us on check. That's what it's all about. We want to make sure we're right in bringing this to you. So thanks again. Next week, we want to talk a little bit more about the All-Star Game. We didn't even get to that tonight. The British Open takes place this weekend, or the Open Championship takes place at Royal Carnoustie. Oh, there's so much to talk about sports-wise. I had such a long list of things we could have talked about. And don't forget our top five list of girls basketball players. When we go off the air on 97.9 FM, we're going to kick it over to Delilah and hear what she's got going on. And then we're going to kick it up to Cleveland to hear the Reds and the Indians. Hopefully the Red Legs will get back into their winning ways tonight against the crossed state rivals here. So I'm George Browning.
I'm Blair Thompson.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM, 1220 AM and 97.9 FM. Join us next week for more sports talk about local, regional, and national sports. Be sure to call in on the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. And between now and then, tweet your comments and questions to KY in Sports Talk or post them on our Facebook page at Kentuckiana Sports Talk. We'll have a question of the week, polls for you, and all the latest news and interviews with local and regional players and coaches. Join George and Blair next week on Kentuckiana Sports Talk.